It's a special blessing to know where you're standing in the presence of the Lord. I think I went to a funeral yesterday of a person who I went to school with, and everybody talked about how great of a person she was and how that she loved everybody, never angry with nobody. And but when you got away from the funeral and listened to the testimony of the life the people living, you know that there's a whole lot being left off. Their plans were, some of them, to go to a card party as soon as they got out to church. Talk about how they were amounts of money they're going to gamble for and play for. But they knew nothing really of Jesus Christ. It don't matter how good you are, if you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart, you're not nearly good enough.
That's right. Amen.
We're going to read this morning from Isaiah, the 55th chapter, verses 1 through 13. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would awaken our hearts, Lord, that we may receive the blessing of your holy word. Lord, that we may have the revelation of your word, Lord, for ourselves. Lord, it's not what others think about us. Lord, it's what you know about us. God, and we ask you to guide us and to strengthen us. Father, please help us, Father, for we realize that the hour we live, Lord, is a late hour. We can look and see all around us how everything is taking place. But Jesus, help us so when you come and it's our time to leave this world, Lord, we don't want people to give testimony about us, Lord, about things that we are not. Father, we want you to be with us, Lord, and let us live every day, Lord, that we may know where we stand, and that's in your presence. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're going to read from Isaiah, the 55th chapter, verses 1 through 13. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that had no money, come ye, buy and eat. Ye come buy wine and milk without money and without price.
Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in happiness.
Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, ever, even the sure mercies of David.
Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people.
Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and a nation knoweth not thee, shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he shall glorify thee.
Speak ye, O Lord, of him with heaven, call ye upon him among his near.
Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord.
For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth, and make it rain for blood, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater.
So shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, for it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereof I send it.
We shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands.
Instead of the throne shall come up a fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up a myrtle tree. And it shall be the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Brother Luis, would you come and take the offering this morning?
Lord, thank you once again for the opportunity to serve you, Lord. We just pray, Father, that you would just continue to bless the service, Lord, and you just help us, Father God, to just have the right spirit to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. May you bless this offering, Lord, and may you just continue to use it, Lord God, for the uplifting of your kingdom, Lord God. And we thank you for those that can give and those that cannot give, Lord. We pray that you bless them equally, Lord. Pray this in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. Let's just sing that chorus. I want to glorify his name. Get him.
Oh, I just come to glorify your name. I just come to glorify your name.
Shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Right now. Amen. If you can raise your hand up to God, that's a temporary resurrection. Amen. Because it defies gravity. And you tell God that, hey, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. It's time for me. It's my time today. Is it your time today? Well, if it's not, you should have stayed home. Amen. We believe that we're going to meet God today, right? Amen. We're going to meet the Lord today. Boy, we had a good time in Bible study last night. Somebody say amen. And saying nothing against y'all people that weren't there, but you should have been. Because we had a good time. A good time. A real good time. And those ones that was on the Zoom meeting, Sister Frieda and different ones, that Zoom meeting is open for anybody. If you look on WhatsApp, you can get the address to get on it, and you can ask questions, and you can just be part of the group if you're not able to. I know it's tough, but you know what? A little bit later on, we're going to preach on faith is works. Huh? No. Works is faith expressed. Your works shows that you got faith. Amen? And Brother Branham, I just read a quote where Brother Branham said, it ain't shouting. Faith is not that. Faith is a settled in your heart that God's going to do what he said he'd do. You know why? God said so. From now on, we're going to say God said so. Not man. Not an angel. God said so. And God gave us this word to believe. Let me read you a little quote here on There's Only One Provided Way of God for Anything. Brother Brown says, I don't believe in intellectual speeches. I believe in the word itself. And then stay with that promise until it's made manifest and fulfilled. That's our problem. That's our problem. We say, okay, we believe God's word. This is a good thing to be. This is a good meeting that we're in. This is a good feeling that we're having. And then you go home and the devil goes. God will never do that. If y'all were here last night, I appreciate everybody that was here. But I want you to understand something, as we were saying last night, and I believe it'll turn a switch on if you'll think about it, that, listen, God can't change his mind, right? Think with me. God can never have a new thought. He can never think of something and then think of something different. Everybody with me? So if he loves you now, he always has loved you. There's not an up and down in the day you think, oh, God's left me. No, you left God. Right. Right. Not. Don't put the fault on God, because he don't change. But we have to, if we meet his requirement, then we what? We change to him, not him change to us. And there's not days, sure we have bad days, sure we have good days, but you know what? God still loves us. If he loved us before the foundation of the world, there's no way he can change that. Amen? Because he saw that you would love him down here. Therefore, by foreknowledge, he loved you up there. Amen. Really simple predestination. And so, see, you'd think, well, that's just God pulling you through a tube. No, it's God seeing what you wanted. Seeing your desires by your free will, by your free moral agency, he saw what you wanted. And if you didn't want it, he didn't have to have it back there to give it to you. If you never wanted it, Adolf Hitler never wanted it. So God never had him in the eternal part of his mind back before the foundation of the world. Sure, he thought of Adolf Hitler, but Adolf Hitler was not in his eternal thoughts. You and I are not just part of his eternal thoughts. We are his eternal thoughts, made manifest and unfolded down here. We had to come down here. God loved us, but we had to come down here to do what? Show that we love him. Amen. Come here as my Savior, my healer, my Redeemer. All the redemptive names of Jehovah. That's why we love him more than just being zombies that come to the earth and saying, oh, this is our God. No, we come down here to go through trials, tribulations, and all these different things, sicknesses that we go through. I was thinking yesterday, I'm going to keep you standing for a minute. Stretch your legs. But I was thinking yesterday, you know, Brother Ron Spencer, everybody knows him. He has stage 4 cancer. It's in several parts of his body. He's taking chemotherapy. He stood in a prayer line the other night and prayed for people for an hour with stage 4 cancer. Now, what is a greater testimony? Because, see, he went back to the doctor, and the doctor says, you still got it. But we don't know why you're reacting like you are. Freda, been taking chemo and all different things. She don't even look any different than she did before. Right? But there's Brother Ron, and I said, what a greater testimony. What's a greater testimony than for Ron to come in and say, well, they found nothing. I'm cancer-free. You say, oh, praise God, that's a miracle. But what about him standing and preaching every Sunday, going through a prayer line, and he goes to the doctor, and they say, you still got it, but we don't understand. That's a greater mystery and a miracle to me that you can have it, this disease, and still function as the bride of Jesus Christ. So let's just take that as our faith and let it build our faith that all things are possible with God. Stage 4 cancer, boy, it sounds bad. Well, watch him online every once in a while. You think he's got stage 4 Holy Ghost is what you think he's got. It ain't no stage 4 cancer, not in that guy. But thank you again for the Bible study. We'll go through this real quick. Thank you. All the kids are back from camp, and Brother Bob and some of his family are at Brother Richard Wilson's preaching this weekend. Brother Lewis will be preaching. Brother Lewis will be preaching for us this Wednesday. All right. We'll have communion and foot washing this afternoon. And after communion and foot washing, we're getting down to the nitty gritty about 2 weeks before we get ready to leave, less than now. We're going to meet downstairs in the common room, I say, the biggest room. We've already got the rooms. We already got the bus. We're ready to go. So, but we need to get the trim our pencils and figure out what we're going to take and what we need and what we don't need. We saw the buses yesterday. They're super nice buses. That we're taking. It's a Prevost, which is a Lexus of buses, and it will be a wonderful time. But we just got to get to get our itinerary down and figure out when we're going to leave, what we're going to do when we get there, and all that. And we need, like I said before, we got to pitch in and help because there's going to be about 50 people besides their 14, and then maybe a few. I had another brother call me from a church not far from there. And thinking about maybe sending some of their people over so on Saturday. So it may be a little bit more than we bargained for, but you know what? We're ready. We're good. We're all right. And we appreciate Brother Chris last weekend, man. He did a good job. Amen? I mean, he laid it out exactly the way he should have laid it out. That's a testimony of a good, balanced minister. As Brother Luis thought, a good balanced minister that we can listen to and get things out of. Also, just one more announcement. August the 3rd through the 5th is the camp meeting at Brother Joe Green's. If anybody wants to go, now Dad and I and Mom and June are going, where our car will be full. But if you want to go, we're going on Thursday and Friday. And Brother Keith Reed's coming back with us that night, on Friday night. And he's going to preach for us that weekend. So the weekend of the 6th and 7th. Brother Keith will be with us on that Sunday. Everybody with me? I think we'll go ahead and have Bible study on Saturday night. Why not? Brother Keith and Sister Francine to be with us. We'll go ahead and have Bible study, and everything will be just like before. We'll have communion and foot washing. Because we need to do it. You know, how many of y'all are on fixed income? All right, don't be ashamed. I'm getting close. All right? Right? First of the month, you get paid on that first of the month. And that sustains you through the month, right? But now when you get down to the end of the month, bank account ain't what it was the first of the month, right? So that's the way it is with Christianity, I believe. We need to pack in all we can the first of the month. Communion, foot washing, Bible study. And that'll sustain us. And then, you know what? We need to do it all over again the next month. You don't get just one check for a year. You get a check for a month. And then you get another check for another month and another check for another month. Well, that's what, with God, He gave us a check. Remember, Brother Brown said he gave us a check with Jesus' name signed on it. He said, you just fill it out. So we're going to fill it out. We're going to do all the ordinances of God. We're going to get everything done. And then we're going to have a good time in the Lord. Amen. So just remember that. Brother Keith will be here on the 7th. So part 46 of Who is This Son of Man? We're going to continue on with faith and talk a little bit about renewing of your mind, because that's what it says there in Romans. But let's bow our heads before we get started. Lord, thank you for this day that you give us. Thank you for the purchase of your blood that's standing before us today. Lord, there's many millions of people around this world that are following this message, Lord, that this morning, some, because in a different time zone, have already had service, we're beginning to have, and there's some that's not have any, that's not having any yet. And Lord, as you, the S-U-N goes across the United States and across the different parts of the country, let the S-O-N do the same thing. Let this Son of Man become real to your bride, Lord. As we look and see that we are coming to the end of an age, Father, and we've come into a time, Lord, even a time of dispensational change, where dispensation is now will be the Son of Man. It will be God in human flesh in a people. We pray that you'd be with us, Lord. Lift our faith. And, Lord, as we maybe later on, we'll talk about James talking about works and Paul talking about faith, but we know that faith without works, not any good. We are here, Lord, to see you work in our life. But it's going to be according to our faith is how you work today, Lord. So let's raise our faith up to another level. Help us, Lord, to do that. Renew our mind, Lord. Our mind is muddled with all different things that we were talking about last night. We got still got a carnal mind that thinks thoughts it shouldn't be, that makes us do things that we shouldn't do. But, Lord, Father, you said in your word that we're to be, as Luis was reading, come to perfection. And to come to perfection, we've got to do the simple things first. Have simple faith that when I come to church, I'm going to hear from you. When I study, I'm going to hear from you. When I pray, I'm going to hear from you. That you're not some God that's off somewhere. Lord, no, you said you're right here with us. And we carry you with us, Lord. And may that become more precious as the days go forward. Just bless each one that's not here. Bless Brother Bob and be with him, Lord, as he preaches. Be with the ones that are on vacation in different places, Lord, coming back home. We pray that you'd be with them, Father. Just take care of us in the furtherment of this service. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, how many of you know that we know for one thing for sure, that scripture was fulfilled when Jesus came on earth. And now we know where that Jesus is. He's in me and you. So now our flesh, listen, his flesh is no different than ours as far as flesh goes. He had to have a germ and an egg come together. God created it. We know that. And but that flesh was not eternal. That flesh was not perfect. That flesh was getting old. It was dying. But by one scripture, it couldn't corrupt. It was corruptible, but it couldn't corrupt because of one scripture. I'll not leave a soul in hell, nor suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. So when are we going to jump into that? We jump into that, we'll see that since he's already died, we don't have to. We don't have to die. We don't have to. By faith, we're going to see that. Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind, our thoughts. And that statue of a perfect man is not so much, it's inside the soul, but it's letting it out into the other outlets of memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination, which that's where your what? That's where your mind is. Amen? So by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. Now look, that you may prove, not God, you. God's going to prove through you what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We know that's his word. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, balance, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt with every man the measure, we were talking about last time, of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. We don't have 12 pastors. We don't have 24 preachers. Right? You've got certain ones that stand in that position, and that position is what we need. We honor the position, and we have laity, we have deacons and different ones, but that makes a body, as Brother Ram said, not an organization, but an organism. All right, is everybody with me on that? An organism, not an organization. All right. Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us. As Brother Luis said, some of you come up under Pentecost and you can shout and speak in tongues because that's what you came up under. Some of you come up under Baptist, some of you come up under Presbyterian, some of you just come up from the world. All right? And so you have different gifts, but you know what? That's what I want you to see, that you move into that. You've got to move into that. You got to move into that part that you are and stay there. Stay in that gift that God gave you, because you know what? He's not going to give you somebody else's gift. He's going to give you your gift, if you believe that. Whether it be prophecy, let us prophesy according to the what? Proportion or portion of faith that is given to each one of us. You may be seated. The Lord adds blessing to the reading of the word. So now we've been talking about the first stage. We're going to fly through this real quick because I want to get to something. The first stage is the birth. Listen, you got to be born again. As we were talking last night, you know, it's good that... Let me say it this way. If you're a beginner in God, and if you're trying to get your life right, and you're trying to get the new birth, or you're trying to do things right, you backslid, maybe you've went away from God, maybe you don't have the new birth, but you try. Don't worry about the seal. Don't worry about Daniel 70 weeks. Don't worry about what you're going to eat in the millennium. Don't worry about how we're going to do it. Now, listen, we talked about that last night, but I thought you can talk to a baby, but then you also got to talk to the mature ones. There's your balance. We can have so much teaching till we leave the little ones away behind, and we can have so much milk until the ones that want meat gets hungry. Amen? So you got to have that balance, so every once in a while you got to go one way with the young kids and stay here. But let me instruct you, though. If you're a young person in Christ, just get to know Christ. Amen. Read your Bible. Study the Word of God. And then your works is going to show how much faith you got. Come to church. Read your Bible. Be a part of the church. You don't have to be a part of the church. I got to do everything. You have to beware of those people sometimes. That wants to do everything, right? We had a guy at McDonald's one time we just had the new double drive-thru. Remember, you know how they are, you pay on one side, then you go get your food on the other. Just got it. This was back in the, I don't know, maybe in the 80s. So this guy, I mean, how many of you kids love to work on Friday night? Not many. How many of y'all love to work on Saturday night when all your friends are out partying and having a good time? No, you didn't want to work. This one kid, he wanted to work every Friday night and every Saturday night. And we thought, you know what? First thing we thought, man, this guy, we need more like him. The Joker was stealing us blind. Friday night and Saturday night are your two busiest nights of the week. He was in that back double drive-thru, and he was taking, if you give him $4, he's getting $3.50 and putting it in the till and taking 50 cents and putting it in his pocket. So beware of those people that want to do everything. Right? I'm here. I'll just do whatever. Well, be careful. That's why I said, Luis, good sermon today. Balance. Amen? Balance. I don't want to do everything. And y'all may hate me. I don't care. I really don't care if you hate me about this. But I've got Sister Regina is going to do part of this leaving and getting on time and doing all this stuff. Because you know what? We need it. And I don't want to do it. I got other things to do. All right? So we delegate. Amen? But you delegate it to somebody that you feel can do a good job. All right? But that guy was stealing us blind. There's no telling how much that little kid. Finally, about a month later, somebody said, that guy's working too many Friday nights to be 16 years old. And so we started watching him from the outside. Somebody would stand outside in a car, or sit in a car, and watch in that drive-thru and watch him take in a $5 bill and then give an amount of change. And then we pulled his drawer real quick and counted it. And, yeah, we found him real quick. Let him go. We didn't send him to the pokey, but for those of you that don't know what that was, that's the jail. We just slapped him on the hands and said, look, man, get out of here. But he was jealous. He was zealous about what he was doing. Well, he was zealous because he wanted to steal us blind. So Romans 8, verse 5. Why in the world I said that? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons. Just beware. They are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Now look, fear and faith doesn't work together. Faith has no place for fear. Ever. All right? So you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you have received what? The spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit. Now, we were talking about that the other day. That we are the children of God. Now, look. That's good to just stop right there. But you got to continue on. Because you get something if you're a child. You're an heir. You're an heir of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we what? Suffer. Suffer with him that we may be also glorified together. As I was saying a few weeks ago, listen, your life, according to your eternal life, is not even counted. Your natural life down here is only about 70 to 80 years, and that's it. But what about an eternity? So are you getting ready for this life? Or are you getting ready for the other one that we got? Are you getting ready for the life? That's why when we receive the life of Christ, that's why the new birth is so important. When you receive the life of Christ, yes, you got to do all these external things. But there's one motive, as Brother Luis was talking about, there's one motive of that guy. He don't want to be out there at wire all the time. He wants to get to that other side because you know what? It doesn't matter how much faith he's got. He's on a tube about that big around. He wants to get out there where he's on flat ground, where he can stand on his 2 feet. That's the same way with me and you. I want to go to heaven. And I know heaven's here, we know that, but I want to be able to go into that other dimension with God, where he is, whether he takes me by death now, that's okay, it's just a vehicle, to take me to where I'm going, you know, pull the pill apart, take the shell off, go into that other dimension, come back, pick the shell back up, and live for an eternity. And where we're going to live? Right here. You know where judgment, you know where the judgment seat's going to be? Right here. The white throne judgment's going to be right here. Because this is where they sinned. Yes. This is where you did all your stuff you're going to be judged for, right? You weren't judged in heaven. You're going to be judged down here. And thank God you and I are not going to be on the receiving end of that judgment. You know what? You're having your judgment right now. Come to church, read your Bible, do the things of God. You're being judged right now. What God said. So we looked at justification, baby form. We know that's chopping off our past sins. We should, but see, we still got to have faith that God will do that because you and I can't. You and I cannot forget. We were talking about last night. You and I cannot forget what we did like God just takes the slate and wipes it off. He can't remember it anymore for an eternity. Amen? See if God's forgetfulness never to be remembered again. All right, but you and I remember, and that's the fight that we have going up that statue of perfect man is like I was saying last night, it's not virtue that you live a virgin life, you've never touched a man, that man's never touched you, No, it's the virtue of God, it's the strength of God. It's the virtue that you get from the Holy Ghost, not that you get because you're this. All right, there's going to be many virgins in hell. But if you don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter. If you don't accept him as your Savior, you are going to hell. One of the two. It's not an in-between. There's not a purgatory to go to or something that you get in the middle of and you know one or the other. But the work of justification is in your soul. Then sanctification is in your soul. The unclean spirit has to go out of your soul. The old nature. This is where we talk about the renewing of our mind. Do you know what you're doing today is totally contrary to God? What you're doing today, you say, what do you mean I'm doing? You're thinking bad thoughts. You had to eat this morning. You had to put on clothes. I hope some of you took a bath. Right? It's all contrary to God. That's not the purpose of God. God didn't put you on here, put you on the earth to do this. This is all permissive will of God. It's not the perfect will of God. The perfect will of God is when we walk into the future home and we don't have any sorrow, no heartaches. We don't need faith. We didn't need Adam didn't need faith. He was faith. All right? So that's what we're coming back to, right? Jesus didn't need faith. He was faith. Why? Because he didn't have a carnal mind. He didn't have to have his mind renewed. Now, there was thoughts that came to his mind that he couldn't help. Hello, somebody. He was human. Brother Bram said he could have been a father. He could have been a husband. So he was ever with human. But he didn't have a carnal mind. He didn't lean back and say, well, my mama, well, my daddy. Hello, somebody. I do this because my mama always did it. My daddy always did it. Boy, my uncle, he just ruined me. No, you ruined yourself. All right. So the sanctification, the unclean spirit goes out, walks in dry places, seeks rest, findeth none. And then Brother Brown says, God, what does he do? He comes in and gives you a new spirit, which is not the Holy Spirit. Because remember, sanctification is cleaned and set aside for service, not put in service. Everybody with me? All right. But now it's potentially there. The potential is there to put you in service. But you have got to keep that demon out. Because he's going to come back to his house, the Bible says, and there in Luke, I believe it is. We've been reading it. Where he says, I'll come back into my house. Because he's still got his dirty hands around me and you until God baptizes you with the Holy Ghost. You're Satan's son. Because you're not a son of God yet. Oh, in the mind of God, yes, you are. But to be a child of God, I just read it, you got to be born again. You got to come to a place and realize that you are born by the what? Breath of God. You're born by the Word of God. You're not born by your mom and daddy anymore. Amen? They can't even birth you twice. Think about that. Because that's what Nicodemus said. He said, have I got to go back and get into my mother's womb and be born again? Just like, no. And Jesus was like, man, come on, you're a teacher from Israel. You're the teacher. You should know these things. No, you got to be born from above. How many of us really know that we've been born from above? I mean, really, you think about it. Well, I got this. And like I said, I get this hereditary from, well, let's look at the heritage that God gave you. It trumps all the heritage that your mom and daddy gave you. It trumps all the heritage of your Dales and Cashes that I'm connected to. It trumps every bit of that. Have you ever thought about that? Because you lean on those. You say, well, I got diabetes because my mama does. No, you got diabetes because you eat too much. Sorry. You control your own destiny, folks. I can't help it because. Now, find me that in the Bible where it says, I can't help it because. I think the Bible, when Mary stood there with the impossible. I don't know a man. And the angel said, with God, all things are possible. He didn't say just some things. All things are possible. You know what she said? Be it unto me according to thy word. Amen. And then what happened? Boom. The promise of God happened to a virgin called Mary. But he said he'd give you a new spirit, and that spirit isn't God's spirit. But listen, I'm trying to drive this home because even the ones that are baptized and the different ones that are sitting here, we look, we want everybody to be born again. We don't want everybody to feel good. We don't want everybody to be perfect yet. We don't want everybody to come every once in a while. I want you to realize you're either born again or you're not. And your desire should be to read the Word of God, come to church. We're sheep. We have to be led. Sorry, that's the way God said it. I can't say it no other way. For the perfecting of the saints, he gave us apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. Now, that's in the Word of God because you know what? We've got to believe that because there's some people who don't believe it. And you know what that makes you? If you don't believe the Word of God, you become an unbeliever. Amen? You become an unbeliever. Well, I don't believe I got to come to church twice. You don't believe. That's not what God said. Well, I think that's your first problem. I think. What does the Bible say? What does the Word of God say? I can read it to you out of the Bible. This is not something, sure, we have, I was thinking about this the other day. We do in the economy of this church and every other church, they have an economy of that, well, we don't want you to chew chewing gum in church, you know, and we don't want you to drink any drinks in church, and we don't want you to do this. Now, that's just common things. But when it comes to this, you can't change. Everybody's got to be the same. Amen. All right? Everybody's got to be the same. Forsake not the assembling yourself together. I keep harping on that, but if you don't come to church, some of you don't even come 50% of the time. You're lost. Wow. Get the new birth. Amen. It will put you in church. Yeah. It will not tell you to not go to church. Amen. The new birth can't tell you that because it'd be contrary to his own word. Amen. I can't change this. You say, why? Ask God. I know why. Ask God to give you the new birth, and I promise you, he'll tell you why. You struggle in your life because you don't come to church. I can see it. We can all see it. It's just, if you don't show up for church, it's like, okay. But look, folks, you're judging your own self. It's not somebody else judging you. You're judging your own self. Amen? It's just like I said last night. The Bible tells us in our age to buy Asaph. The Bible tells us that there's five wise and five foolish virgins. And those five foolish virgins, at one time, they couldn't get oil. When I get finished drinking this, there's no more. There's going to be a day come when we come up to this church or any other time in our life, and God's going to say, that's enough. And there'll be no more. There'll be no more water. There'll be no more eye salve. There'll be no more Holy Ghost given out. That's it. I'm sorry. If you think, well, you're talking to me, yeah, I am. But it's not me talking. It's God telling you what the word says. All right? Amen. Buy of me eye salve. Buy. Right. Come and get it. You got to come and get it. Draw nine to me, and I'll draw nine to you. Boy, that's really simple. Now, what we want to do is sit home with our feet up on the couch and say, God, bring me the blessings. No, you're going to get the curses because you're not what? You're becoming an unbeliever. You're not believing just what the simple word of God says. It didn't take William Branham to tell us we need to come to church. Bible said it. And you know what? If God put it in the Bible, there's no way he can change. And he put it in there for a purpose. For us to live by it. Come on, wake up. If it looks like a donkey, smells like a donkey, and honks like a donkey, what is it? What is it, Hudson? It's a donkey. We got a donkey that brays all the time. He goes, eow, eow. You know what? Do you know when that thing goes, eow, eow, we don't go, where's that duck? Where'd that duck go? No, we know it come from a donkey. Looks like one, smells like one, acts like one, that's what it is. If you look like the world, smell like the world, and act like the world, you're of the world. But if you look like God, act like God, you must be God. Faith and works have to work together. Amen? Balance. I got all faith. I got a quote by Terry. I'll read it a couple of Sundays from now. Brother Brown says, if you got faith, you need to let it out. He told one sister in the prayer line, I got it in there, was reading it just a few minutes ago. He said, sister, you've got faith. You're just not letting it out. You've got faith. If you're born again, she was a Christian lady. Lady, you got faith. Just let it out. And obviously she did because she got her healing. But it just takes what? It just took a preacher to say, hey, you got faith, but it's locked up. You got it locked up by what? Your mind. Like we said before, Brother Brown said, a prostitute can come across the stage, been with a 100 different men, just a low life, drunk, whatever, and get her healing. And a true saint of God will come across the platform and miss hers. Why? Because the prostitute in her mind She said, I'm going to believe what that guy says. And then, see, then God's got to say, if you believe what I say, I'll heal you. No other condition. But a Christian comes up and says, oh, I said something bad. I cut somebody off in the road. I'm just unworthy. I'm not this. I'm not that. And you worry about that and you lose your healing. Because of what? Because of a carnal mind. I hope this is okay. He said he'd give you a new spirit. All right, so we watch these things. And being in the ministry and different, that you watch. I take the 19 that was baptized. Have they changed? Some have, some haven't. I'm just saying. You know the 19, and that, you know, you can point your finger if you want to. But there was 19 people been baptized. Some don't show back up again. Some are moving on with God. I don't have to pick them out. God picks them out. The Word of God, the mirror. Brother Brown, what do you always say? The mirror of the Word. You stand in front of that mirror. I was thinking the other day. Try to say this where everybody will understand it. Because when I think in my mind, sometimes you might not understand what I'm thinking. But we harp on people being qualified to preach or qualified to do this or qualified to do the other. And we say that fornication is an abomination, right? That's the Bible says fornication is an abomination. But now you take abomination. We know what fornication is, unclean living, sexually. Well, we take that out of the way because we know what that is. But what? The Bible tells you, sisters, that it's an abomination for you to put on clothes pertaining to a man. We don't read them parts. So you're under the same abomination. Because if it's one abomination to God, all of them are abomination to God. That's why you're an unbeliever when you do that. That's why that when you cut your hair, you've cut yourself off from God. Because why? Because you don't believe that that part of the word's right. You don't believe. And how many of you, you know, you witness to people, why do you wear you? Well, that's in Deuteronomy 29 or whatever, Deuteronomy 19. Well, that's in the Old Testament. What does that matter? It's in the Bible. So it's the Ten Commandments. Do you live by them? Amen? But he'll give you a new spirit. That new spirit, will you watch those? I was thinking yesterday. I told him last night, you are influenced by a spirit. I don't care if you're born again. You're influenced by the spirit of the world. Brother Brown said America had a spirit. Look at it, entertainment. We love entertainment. We love sports. We wear our favorite jerseys. We go to our favorite places. We have our favorite things to eat. That's the spirit that motivation. Not saying bad or good, but there's a spirit that motivates everything you do. Amen. Everything you do. Amen? That's right. Now, some's holy and some's not. But where's the divine line? The word, what the word of God says. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Then if you want to go to a ball game, go ahead, but don't make it on Sunday. Balance. 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 Listen, the prophet of God had to go to a ball game because he was telling about the guy getting so happy. And a lot of you young people don't know this, but if you look at old baseball games, people used to wear straw hats. Not the ones like people wear now, but they're flat-rimmed like this. Not a fedora. Flat-rimmed and with a square thing, and it's all made out of thatched material. Go look at all the ball games. You'll see them. Well, Brother Ryan says one guy took and put his head through one of them. They were so happy. Remember? Well, he had to see that. He said the guy got so happy he reached and got his hat. And if you do it strong enough, you just pull it right down over somebody's head. And that top pops off of it. Y'all can laugh if you want to. But just go back and put in about 1930 for a baseball game about where Brother Ryan would be watching baseball games. You'll see all them people with them straw hats on. I don't know what they were called. But he must have been there to see it. A prophet? Yeah, a prophet. But I'll put my spirit in him. It begins to divide. The Bible says dividing the word of truth. And dividing gives you measures. Right? You don't just say, I'm going to put a gallon of milk and make one cake. I'm just, 1 gallon, you know. You know, like Dad, his philosophy is if two nails holds a 2x4 good, 17 holds it 17 times better. He just don't know he splintered the whole bottom of the 2x4. So, or if one quart's good, two quarts is twice as good. No, you can't overfill your motor in your car. Now, he never did that. That's something that I think I did one time. So, I was influenced by my wife. So, I'm just kidding. But isn't that the way we are, though? You do some goofy something, and you give it, and you tell, well, God, that wasn't my fault. She made me do that. No, you did it. But he'll give you a new spirit. That new spirit will change you. That new spirit, even that new spirit, that's not the Holy Spirit. See, you're waiting on the Holy Spirit to come to make you born again or religious or act right. No. They got it wrong in the message. You got to get rid of the things you did at sanctification. Those old, unclean spirits have got to be rendered out of your soul. Amen. And when they're rendered out of your soul, it changes your mind. It changes your spirit. It changes your attitude. Toward who? God. It changes you. The change doesn't begin at the new birth. The change begins at sanctification. I'll put my spirit in him then, though, is the Holy Spirit. All right? Read it right there. God gives you a new spirit. Then he says, I'll put my spirit in him. Now, what if he gives you a new spirit and then you invite all them old ones back? That can happen because you know what? It's not sealed yet. I'm drinking this so I can put my dirty finger down in here. But why can't I? It's not sealed. The devil's going to come right back in and make you seven times more religious, put you in a message church. But you will not endure to the end. You will disappear from the congregation. If you make a move for God and then you stop, and you don't continue on with God, regardless of what the devil tells you, regardless of what your neighbor tells you. And listen, not regardless of what this man telling you, because I believe I'm telling you the truth, just like Brother Dale told you the truth for all those years. You got to be born again before it totally changes your life. But it's got to start at sanctification. Because justification, look, justification, I ain't getting nowhere. Justification is the unclean spirit gone out of you. Man, I felt so good. Because I believed. Faith in what I heard, that he would take my sin and put him in the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. And whether I ever think of him again or not, God has no thought of him, because he loved me from the beginning. He knew I'd want him more than life itself. He knew I'd come to one day when I would be sick and tired of being sick and tired. And who was I sick and tired of? Me. Yes. I was sick and tired of me. Yes. Have you ever come to that yet? If you have never come to that yet, you need to get born again. Get sick and tired of what you're doing. Yes. Listen, who's our worst enemy? The devil? No. You are. You and I are our worst enemy. Listen, God wants to save the whole world. And if he saw that in his mind, it would have happened. But he knew that even if he gave somebody like Adolf Hitler 1,000,000 years to repent, Adolf Hitler would still be a killer 1,000,000 years. If as much as he was when he died, he'd be a killer 1,000,000 years from now. Because he never would change. He never would what? Get the unclean spirit out. He loved him. Brother Bram says, they said, Brother Bram, why did that woman get cancer again? Why did that woman get the epileptic or whatever it was. It came back on her, in other words. He said, because she loved it. It was driven out by God, but she didn't have enough faith to keep it away. Remember, Brother Brown said, you can be healed of cancer today and die tomorrow. What? It's temporary. But this spirit, when you get the spirit of God, It changes you. And you know what? People will see that change. People will see that change. You know why? Because you've changed. Isn't that why people see change? Because you've changed. Right? But the thing God has to do is give you a new spirit, make your nature. See, he's working on your nature. A little more gentle. This is before the new birth. This is before he seals you where nothing else can get in or out. And then he puts you in service. He's not going to put you in service because he always, there's an option. Something can get back in. And only God knows in his mind whether you let it get back in or not. It's not God letting it back in. You let it back in. And that's what happens. You get a Brother Brown, I read you that quote several times where Brother Brown said, we get a real good case of sanctification. We shout, we speak in tongues, or we just get happy in the Lord, and then we never see him again. Now, that was not the new birth. That might have been some sanctification going on. But the unclean spirit came back in just a little bit later and took him right back out. I hate to see that. But you know what? There's absolutely nothing you can do but just pray for people. That's all you can do. Why would I want to drag? Mama tried to drag me to church for 20 years. I mean, she wanted me saved. I mean, every mama would want, but didn't do me a bit of good. Didn't do me a bit of good. If you come on Christmas and Easter, you need to get born again. If you only come at Christmas and Easter. Because that was me, the C&E crowd, you know, the Christmas and Easter crowd. You show up, and Mother's Day. You better show up on Mother's Day. Whew. You better show up when the doors open. That's what Brother Branham said. We love the quote, like we were talking before, we love the seals and the Daniel 70 weeks and what we're going to eat in the millennium and what's this and that and the other, but do you even come to church? Do you even read your Bible? Do you even pray more now than you did before? Because that new spirit is going to push you toward doing that. It's not going to, listen, the old one that got cast out of you is the one that took you in this direction. All right? But that new spirit is heading you. Brother Brown said you get a new spirit. He said, your name goes on the book at sanctification. What a book. A book of religion. A religious spirit. But you be careful. That's got to be turned from a religious spirit into God's spirit. Because Satan has a religious spirit. He knows how that is, and he'll pile it on you, and you'll think it's God. Because, see, remember, the Bible says he wants to sit in the temple of God, showing himself to be as God. Where's the temple of God? Right here. The temple of God's right here. It's not a temple. The temple of God's right here. This is where Satan wants to. This is where he wants his seat. And he'll get it with the Antichrist, the beast. He'll get that seat. And then, like we were talking about in Daniel 70 weeks, he'll break that covenant, and then all hell's going to break loose. But we're not here.
That's right.
Thank God. What? We have what? Got the new spirit and then went on further and got the Holy Ghost. Seeing that you purified your souls in obeying the truth. What did Samuel tell Saul? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Saul said, oh, but Samuel, I brought so many thousand heads of sheep. And we can sacrifice them to the Lord. Right? Oh, we're going to save these two kings because we're going to make them suffer. We've destroyed their kingdom. Samuel says, I hear the bleating of the sheep. And then Saul tells him all that good stuff, which sounds good. But Samuel says, no. I told you, God told you through me, kill them all. Kill all the animals. Definitely get the kings out of the way, because what Samuel do? Oh, what a good prophet he was. He pulled a sword. Listen, Samuel was not something that just sat in a cave. He knew how to use a sword, because he took them two kings, put his foot on one of them, and he goes, whoosh, put his foot on the other one, whoosh, wipes his sword off and said, that's what God told you to do, but you didn't do it. And he said, but now, he said, your kingdom has been rendered away from you because you didn't what? Obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. All right? So that's what it says right here. You obey the truth. What is the truth? The truth is the word of God. Well, I don't know if I... See, I don't know. No, I do. You get the new birth, you'll know. You'll know that that something inside of you is pulling you off that tightrope you've been on all your life onto some good solid ground. But you got to have faith in what God's already said, not what God's saying. It's what God's already said. Seeing you have purified your souls. Talking about the soul now, not the spirit. You've purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit unto unfeigned or no, there's no up and down, unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. You were born of corruptible seed. I'm looking at it right now. But by the word of God, the incorruptible seed are the word of God, which what liveth and abideth forever. Ephesians 1, we talk about being predestinated. You and I are predestinated. This journey put us in here, right here today. So you're predestinated for a purpose. We know that, right? In whom also you trusted. Look, after you heard the word of truth. How you gonna trust in something you never heard? You got to hear the word of truth. That's what convicts you. Because if you read a book by Charles Darwin, you read a book by some good novelist, that doesn't mean nothing. How many times when I was in the world, I liked to read books. And I'd read books by certain authors, different ones, you know. I can't remember one of them. But I sure can remember some of the things I've read out of this. Because it's ingrained in my soul. All that other stuff is just okay, good thoughts and all that stuff. The only book I ever remember that I read that I really liked was, I don't even know the author, but it was called Children Are Like Wet Cement. Children Are Like Wet Cement. The impression you make before the cement sets up stays with it. How many times have you built something on? I know we built something at the house, and Zach, which is grown now, he put his little old handprint. You know what? Still there. And if we would go up at Gillsville, where Daddy built that house in 64, we all had our little handprints in that. Amen? It's still there because there was an impression made before it set up. So that's why we need to get our kids. We need to teach them right. Teach them to say thank you. Teach them to say yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Thank you goes a long way. Thank you. See there? Make you feel better. Thank you. But this is all going to happen after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that you believed. So you got to have faith. We read it before. Read it again. There's that big thing called faith. As Luis was talking about the Leaning Tower of Pisa. You were using pizza, and then you took pizza. What? You got pizza on your mind, brother? Must. Remember, he used a piece of pizza as the pyramid. Then he goes to the Leaning Tower of Pisa, which is in Pisa, Italy, right? And that's where pizza. Anyway, so you see how that spirit got on him this morning? That pepperoni demon. I'm hungry, he said. I'm hungry. Well, let's get hungry for the word of God first. All right. Let's get influenced by that spirit. That's why when you come to church, that's why you are either better or worse. It took a prophet that could look into another dimension. Everybody with me? It took a prophet that could look into another dimension. And he said, I could see demons hanging off the rafters when I'd go into a place. Went to a motel one time and he said, I need to change rooms. They said, why? He said, there was adultery committed in there and that spirit's still in there. And you and me, we just go, oh, that's a good room. Let's go on in, you know. But his conscience, we were talking about last night. Our conscience is sometimes this far apart. We were talking about having dreams. But his conscience was right here. He didn't know whether he was in this realm or he was in this realm. But see, that was his gift. But see, God allowed him to go into that so that he can tell me and you that right now we're being influenced by spirits. Everywhere you go, you're influenced by a spirit somewhere. It's which one you lean toward, which dog you feed the most, is the one that's going to have to take. Listen, Satan is powerless. Right? You give him the power. Satan is powerless before the church of God. But the church of God is letting him in the door. I'm sorry, in all of us. The little things that we do, the little things that we don't confess. Look, which is the earnest. See, that's the earnest of our inheritance when we come to this new birth, when we come to this, getting this Spirit of God inside of us. And by that time, we should be able to be comfortable with the Spirit of God. How many of you, before you got born again, was comfortable in a church? Put the camera on these people. How many of you were comfortable going to church? When Mama would call me, and she'd say, "Son, it's Mother's Day. You need to be in church." I got to shaking. Because I didn't want to be in church. I knew there was some good people there. I knew there was spirits that would influence me to be good. And I didn't want that. I'm just being honest. Are you? I didn't want to come to church because it wasn't comfortable. Right? You know where I was comfortable? Where the devil was. Out in the world, I was so comfortable going to XYZ. So were y'all. Comfortable with a cigarette. Comfortable with the beer. Why? Because we were influenced by that spirit, and actually, we were influenced by the big one that was down inside. Either faith or doubt. Today, you either got God in your soul or the devil in your soul, one of the two. You're no gray area there either. The only gray area is maybe when you pass through sanctification, but you don't continue on, you're going to drop back to that other spirit. But we are influenced by spirits. We'll get into it a little bit more, because to go up the statue of a perfect man, like I said, it took a prophet to go, "You see that demon of cancer? He's screaming to that demon over here for help. There's a black streak." And he said, "I can hear him screaming." Now the people are, and you know, Brother Brown would say, "Can't you see that light over that person?" Well, there's nobody can see no light over nobody. Right? I mean, some of you were sitting in the meetings and you were trying to go, it ain't there, because your eyes couldn't see it. But it's real. Today, you got a lick of fire. And it's not hanging over you. It's burning inside if you got the new birth. But there's still spirits hanging around you, influencing you. "Well, I don't think I want to hear him again. I'll just find me somewhere else to go." Later, Gator. Devil, you got your day coming. Don't worry. Don't you know that everything he put on us, we're going to heap it back on him. And he's going to have to keep it on him. We're going to get rid of him. He's not going to bother us anymore. John 14 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present." But the comforter. Why would God send a comforter? Who's got, Christine's got a comforter around her. She's cold. And listen, if y'all going to go with us on that bus, you better bring you a comforter. Because I'm turning the air conditioner down. You will not die. You might freeze, but you ain't going to die. But bring you a comforter. But what does a comforter do? Makes you warm. It gives you what? Comfort. The Holy Ghost is to give you comfort. It's not to scare you. It's not to scare you. It's not to give you the spirit of fear anymore. I've lived with the spirit of fear long enough. We want liberty. We want to be able to feel good. We want to feel the pull. We felt the pull of the world long enough. But we had a prophet to tell us, there's three pulls. And they're not pushes. We want to push people into it. But it's three pulls. Where God is pulling you, as Brother Luis was talking about, that rope. But that over there is where it's pulling me. And that was good. Brother Luis and Brother Branham even tells us about how the little boy rode the bicycle on a little bitty board. I mean, you ever try that? Don't ever look down at the board. If you're driving a car, don't ever look across the hood and look straight down at the ground. You'll be doing this. Where do you look? You look from here to the door, 30, 40 feet away from you, and you stay straight as a string. Y'all didn't know you was going to get a driver's ed course today, did you? But that's the truth, and that's the same way with God. If we look at every little circumstance that we come upon, and we go, "Oh, I don't know." No, look at the prize. Look at what we're heading toward. You're going to have problems. That cable is going to wobble. because of your life. But look at the prize. Out there, it's solid ground. There's no spirit of fear. There's a comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Acts 1 verse 4 says, but you shall receive power or dunamis after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. In other words, you're powerless before. Hello? You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. And we know that means dunamis and power. Let's continue on. Now what, Brother Branham? What is the evidence of the Holy Ghost? Now we know that Brother Branham said it was a personal revelation to you in Christ the mystery of God revealed. But I believe he really summed it up right here in this message in the Smyrna Church Age. Oh grief, this is in the Church Age book. Some of y'all that don't believe in it, just turn it off. You're crazy if you do. You're doing away with the very word of God if you do away with that Church Age book. You're doing away with an integral part of your Christianity if you do away with that book. Amen? I don't care if it's a woman's book. What does it matter? Brother Branham approved it before he died. He read it, said, publish it. I trust his discernment, not them other people's. He told us the evidence of what would happen after being baptized with the Holy Ghost was that we would have the teacher come and teach us all truth. But that teacher was an inside teacher, not an outside teacher. Now you say, well, then, brother, I can sit at home and I can just listen to tapes and I can press play. And yeah, you might be able to do that, but your inside teacher didn't tell you to do that. If you got the Holy Ghost, your inside teacher can't go past what this word says. So it says you must go to church. You must read your Bible. You must study. You must listen to a fivefold ministry. Amen? Listen, I know people can't get here because of certain, health issues and distances and all that. But a brother was telling me the other day, he said there was a group of people that was streaming him for maybe a year or so. And one couple decided to move to the church. That was a good thing. But the problem was, the brother said when the sister and the brother walked in, it looked like she was getting ready to wash clothes and he was getting ready to go to the garden. Well, what does that mean, Brother Wade? They hadn't been to church in 3 years. They didn't know how to dress. They dressed the way they watched it online. About said who it was. The brother said, you in church now. You need to dress like you're in church now. Get the slippers off, put you on some good clothes, and come to church. That was the problem. They'd sat around and drank their coffee and tea, and their, sister didn't do her hair, and she wore her gown and whatever. And, even when Brother Dale was sick and streaming and couldn't come here, he had his good clothes on, sitting in front of that watching. I think we ought to all do that. We ought not all be in our pajamas. We ought to at least, if we can't make it to church, you ought to feel like you're in church. Yeah. Right. Amen? Amen. Just a little bit of wisdom there. Those who were filled with the Holy Ghost heard the word, received it. Some of you are turning it down because you're acting like it. And lived by it. Yes, sir. Those who did not have the Spirit heard it only as carnal men. Oh, that's just Brother Wade. Oh, that's just Brother Dale. That's just Brother Luis. That's just Brother Aaron. That's just Brother Bob. You better be careful. Those who did not have the Spirit heard it only as carnal men put a wrong interpretation on it and went into sin. In every age of the Holy Ghost for the true believer, I say in every age the evidence was the same. Those who had the Spirit, the teacher, heard the word, and that Spirit in them took the word and taught it or revealed it to them. And they were of the group that heard the messenger and his message and took it and lived it. Wow. Just a few more minutes and then we'll stop right here. This is where we'll probably start this afternoon. Matthew 11, verse 12 says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And the violence take it by force. The violent take it by force. The kingdom of God is taken by force. You got to, listen, it's really easy to sit at home and cut the thing on and watch it. It's an effort to get here. I admire a lot of you that drive. Sister Trudy used to drive 4 hours one way to hear the word of God. And you know what, Sister Trudy? How many times did you break down during that whole 20-something year, 20 years? Not one time. She had a Volvo that had what? 300,000 miles? It has to be miles. You can't even count them. But you know what? God honored that faith. And you know one thing's for sure? I'm going to give you a rose while you're here. She was never late. Oh, that ought to burn some of y'all up. 4 hours. That meant she had to leave at 5 o'clock in the morning to get here by 9. Not 9:30. She's always here at least almost an hour early. 4 hours. And when she left, that's why we have services at two o'clock in the afternoon, mainly so Sister Trudy can get home because it's not so late. Because if she leaves here at 4 o'clock, now she leaves closer now, but then she didn't. She drove years, and her husband didn't come with her. She drove by herself. Well, I got to have my husband with me. You don't have him all the time, will you? Sometimes you tell him to go do something else. But she didn't have her husband with her, and she still got in the car. And you know what? At 4 o'clock, I always thought about this. At 4 o'clock, when me and you that live 10 miles away, hello, somebody, we have already ate supper, went home, changed our clothes, stayed around here for a couple hours and fellowshiped. Y'all hate long services, but you'll stand down there for 2 hours in the heat. I'm on it. I'm going to get on it. In the heat, and you won't sit here for, he preached an hour and a half. But you'll stand an hour and a half outside talking about everything else but the Word of God. All right? Sister Trudy, though, to get back home, she had to get in her car. She didn't fellowship much. She stayed around for a little while, maybe 20, 30 minutes. All right? So that put her at 4:30. Say service was over at 4. 4:30. We had already went home. I'm sorry, fellowship for 2 hours here. Went home, changed clothes, eat supper, and got ready for bed, and she's not even home yet. Because if you leave at 4:30, 5:30, 6:30, 7:30, 8:30. And in the wintertime, that was real treacherous because it started getting dark at 5, 5:30. She had all that to drive. And she was driving to Charlotte, North Carolina, which a lot of times they might have been some snow. I'm sure you met some sometime before. Some snow between here. You know what? She said, now I don't have my phone. The long-range forecast says that there's 10% chance of snow, so I'm not going to church. Hello, somebody. Come on. We got to get serious about this. She didn't look at her app and say, 10%. I don't think I better go. I can't find my cat. Can't find my keys. June lost her keys this morning, but we were praying. She finally found them. So, listen, we have a key-finding God, right, Lisa? I mean, really, how many of you have done that? I've lost my keys. Brother Dale, pray. Brothers, pray. Let's all get together and pray. And you know what? Boom, there they are. Y'all look for an hour almost, right? Fervently. And you know what? God didn't just drop them in their lap. They had to work for it. June had picked up a pile of clothes for my sweet, darling, beautiful, wonderful 14-year-old granddaughter. Hey, Deanna. And she had picked it up, and the keys were in that pile. And she went and found them. And they got to church a little bit late, but you know what? That's okay. They found her keys. We got a key-finding God, but we also got a saving God, a God that will save your soul. Give you the new birth and what? Put you in the kingdom of God and then what? Put you to work. Yes. Put you to work. We need to work at this thing. It was a work for Sister Trudy to get here. I'll promise you, she didn't get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm still going this. She didn't get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go, oh, shoot, I'm going to be 30 minutes late. I forgot to get gas yesterday. Car was full day before. Y'all ought to try that sometime. Like I said before, we're not going to get any further. You'll not miss a doctor's appointment because you can't find your cat. You never will go, oh, my car's on empty. I ain't going to make it to my doctor's appointment. No, you'll make sure. You got your calendar. Mom and them's got a big old calendar, and they got it circled. Maybe y'all ought to circle some Sundays. Amen. And some Wednesday nights. Put that circle as much as you circle it for your doctor's appointment. And why don't y'all come see Dr. Jesus every once in a while? Listen, I'm not trying to build church members. I'm not trying to fill this place up. God wants to fill it up, he will. But you got to want to do it. There was a time I didn't want to do it because I didn't have the doer inside of me. The pull. It pulls me to church on Sunday. It pulls me to church on Wednesday. Yeah, there's some times that I've said, I just don't feel good. Came anyway. Do y'all know when in 2 weeks from now, when we get ready to go to Ohio, let's stand our feet. We'll stop right here. Musicians, come. That this church will be empty for the first time on Sunday in a long time. Because we have church. We believe in having church, whether you believe it or not. We've been built on having church services. We hadn't shut our church down because of COVID. Yeah, we did certain things to do away with COVID, but we never shut this place down. We had service. You know what? God, listen, God's got to honor his word. There's no honor to say, well, great Brother Dale. He is. But it's a great God in Brother Dale that influences him to have church service. He always has. There never has been a time in my life from a child where we get up on Sunday and there's a discussion of whether to go to church or not. And poor old mama, she never has sat with daddy until now. June hardly ever sat with me, right? She sat by herself because dad was up here doing his job. Well, bless God, Brother Dale ain't going to sit with me today. I think I'll just go to the house. I think I'll stay home. Yeah, you go ahead and stay home. But if you'll come to church, you know what? You come under a blessing. You pay your tithe, you come under a blessing. You do the things of God, not to spoken word church. You do it to God. You do it to God. And then God will bless you. He'll have to. He's got to bless you because it's what his word says. Let's read this one before we sing a song. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that what? Have obtained. Obtained. Not get it dumped on you. You have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. We'll stop right here because this is where I want to get to. I wanted to get to confession and profession because look, but if I say unto you that every idle, but I say unto you, this is Jesus, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof on the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. This afternoon we'll talk about confession and possession. We'll read it right out. We'll just skip right here just for that. Confess, to admit or declare oneself guilty of what one is accused of. Confess your faults, the Bible says, one to another. Confess. But what? What is there also, though? There's a possession to acquire. Because Brother Brown said you're possessed of one of the two things. You're possessed of God or you're possessed of the devil. To acquire, get, to procure a thing for oneself, to possess, to marry a wife. And that's what Jesus Christ is doing. He's marrying a wife. Amen. Let's sing a song. God bless you.
I am blessed.
You drift off into that subconscious. praising God. The devil can't win. He's trying to put everybody to sleep, but somebody's always waking up. Somebody's always going to sleep. Oh, I got them. Oh, no. Somebody else is getting up. I want the devil to be a neurotic. You to be blessed by God. Listen, you can have some of us have been blessed with good life, good health, good money, good car, good home. Very material. Very going to go away one day. But you've been given eternal life if you're born again. That'll never go away. That'll never mold. It'll never have to be torn down. Atomic explosion will never even have to, won't even blow it, it won't even bother it. So why don't we put our faith in that? Put our faith in that. Put our faith in the blessings of God. Oh, brother, you don't understand. I'm just struggling. Are you doing everything that God told you to do? You're the only one that knows that. You're the only one that can say yes or no. If you say no, then whose fault is it? God's? No, it's your fault. Let's start owning up to what we do. And not like Brother Luis was talking about. Well, Brother So-and-so is gossiping. I think I'll just gossip on him. You know, what the world says, tit for tat. You know, you do this to me, I'm going to do this to you. That's not Christian. Amen. If Jesus would have done that, he'd have just destroyed the world. Right? You hit me, I'll hit you. You hang me on a cross, I'll put you on a cross. You put me in a tomb, I'll put you in a tomb. No. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Come out of that grave, and he said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. And I'm fixing to give it to a bride. Yeah. On the day of Pentecost, I'm going to come in 120, and we're going to destroy this devil. Oh, it don't look like it. But he did it. You know, when you are hit over in a sixth dimension, Satan has never put his grubby feet in that dimension. Never has he been in that sixth dimension, because that's only for the believers. Just like I said about the future home, he might be in, he'll be around in the millennium. He'll be able to come back to the earth and do some awful things. But when that new city comes down out of heaven, he'll never, ever, ever touch that city. He'll never touch that ground that's been walked on. But you and I will for an eternity. Let's sing one more time.
Yes.
You all know what I'm struggling with, and I've just been really impressed, and I've asked God to bring anything, and I've told people anything I have done, any gossip I've participated in, any I want God to bring it to my mind,
Amen.
And I want to confess it and make it right,
Amen.
And anything I've done. And so I want to ask you, and I'm serious, I'm not kidding, anything that you can remember that I've done or that I've gossiped about or anything, please come to me. I'm fighting for my life.
Sure, man.
And
that's
I
right.
want you to come to me so that I can make it right. Thank you.
Amen. All is well.
Yeah.
All is well.
So what I told you, I said, confession, we haven't got in, didn't get into it, we'll get into it this afternoon. Like that brother, I said something about a brother. You know what I said, or you don't know what I said, but I said something about a brother up in Tennessee. And that burdened me, it kept burdening me. And you know what? It's like Brother Dale said, if he keeps burdening you long enough, you go, oh, really, that wasn't important. No, it's always going to stay there. What hurts you worse, a great big thorn that you can pull out? No, it's that little stinker that breaks off on the end of that, and you get it, and it keeps festering, and you can't dig it out. Well, that's what it was. It was digging at me to get that right. And when I got it right, guess what? I had a justification again. I had an emptying out. Because that man threw it in a sea of forgetfulness. God threw it in a sea of forgetfulness, and it'll never be remembered no more. Amen. So confession is what we're going to talk about this afternoon. Confession will give you a possession. Right. You can't have a possession and not confess. You got to confess your faults one to the other, and then you'll have a possession. You will be able to possess, the Bible says, the gates of the enemy. Listen, this world is possessed. Lord help. Look in the news. Look on TV. Look around. This world is possessed with the devil. But you know what? Who's stronger, the possession of the devil or the possession of God? The possession of God is way stronger than the possession of the devil. Let me read this real quick that the Durrett family gave me. Please remember my sister-in-law, Joanne Durrett's brother, Joel Nanton, in prayer. He has been sick with cancer for 3 years. He's really been suffering, but trusting the Lord for his perfect will. Right now, he is in the hospital in a coma, so he can't pray. He's dependent on us. Right now, he's in a hospital in a coma. Please pray that the Lord Jesus can be merciful unto him and heal him if it's the Lord's will. Well, we know it's the Lord's will for us to be healed. He is a believer, and he's also a minister. He has 2 children and a wife. He's a very precious brother. Thank you all very much. Where 2 or 3 are gathered in the Lord's name, there he is in the midst. Amen. And it's a prayer request, and the whole church pray for him. And he's actually in Trinidad. So, Sister Trudy, Brother Collins, you can enter in. There's a friend. There's somebody in Trinidad that needs some help. Amen? Brother Brown said what? Enter in. That woman entered into that mother of the baby that was sick, and God answered her prayer. Brother Brown said, no, it wasn't me. Wasn't me. You were already healed when that sister. Oh, that Brother Branham. No. I want Brother Branham to come back. If he prayed for me, he ain't going to do no more good for you than I am right now. Sorry. You got to put your faith in God. We'd love to have Brother Branham. I was looking the other day. I still got some of his, and on Acts 19, I still got some of his prayer closet that Brother, what was his name that just died? Perry Green gave us. These right here were some that were prayed over. I cherish them. But you know what? I'll give them to you if you need them. But if that'll build your faith. But your faith needs to be built in God. God sent us a prophet to what? To believe in God, not believe so much in him. Oh, boy, you know. The prophet of God's not here, so does that mean all our healing's gone? Does that mean all of our deliverance is gone? Does that mean we can't raise the dead? We can't pray for people? Can't pray for this brother here? No. I believe he came to enhance that, to tell us how it would happen, what would happen, and where to go. To the Bible and to the prophet's message. He gave us that to be the final voice. So now let's lift up our final voice, and let's pray for this brother as we're dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, this brother is in a coma. And he's several thousand miles maybe from us. But Lord, you know no distance. Lord, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, we bind our faith with the believers in the building that you'll touch that brother, Lord. That you'll bring him out of that coma and that cancer will be dismissed from his body. Lord, we're confessing for him because he slipped into a coma. But we're confessing, Lord, that by your stripes he's already healed. And that we will hear a good report, Lord. We pray this, Lord, as the bride of Jesus Christ cries out to you, Lord, where 2 or 3 are gathered, Lord, you'll be in the midst. So, Father, you've been with us already. You feel comfortable around us, Lord. So I pray, Lord, that comfort will go to that brother. And the prayer of faith has been prayed, and, Lord, you said it would heal the sick and forgive us of our sins. Also, Lord, remember Sister Crystal up in Ohio, Lord. She's having some issues with her body. We prayed for her this morning. Now I pray, Lord, that the healing power will continue to touch her body there in Ohio, Lord, Sister Crystal Morales, Lord. We love them so very much, and we appreciate them. Lord, I pray that you'd be with each one that's in this building, Lord. We all have needs. But that one brother is laying in a dire need, Lord. He needs to come out of that coma. He needs you, Father, to come on the scene and make his body connect to the confession that by your stripes he's already healed. Father, we ask these things. Lord, be with us as we go eat a natural meal, Lord, and take care of us. Bless us in the name of the Lord Jesus as we dismiss. Be back at 2:00 in Jesus' name. Amen.
Like traveling on. Oh, yes, I feel.